All right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast, episode 65 and the first of the year 2024. I'm not going to do that thing where I ask everyone how their Christmases were. I'm going to take some leaps. Alicia went back to America to stock up on hot sauce.
Accurate.
Sheena put her hair in rollers one too many times. And James went back to his land to go pheasant shooting.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Isn't it a leap year this year?
It is a leap year.
So it's good that you said you're going to take a leap. Was that on purpose?
No, it wasn't.
Or no?
Well, I mean,
it's natural at this.
Leap year fans will be rolling around at like such a great little setup. Yeah, all right then. So, kind of low on stories. We can't pretend, can we? It's right at the beginning of the year.
Nothing's happened yet.
No.
And also, most people like were on holiday. Most people who write for the various publications where we normally find stories, they weren't working as well. So we've gone. Yeah, we're kind of flying by the seat
of our
pants.
It's always like health messaging,
a little bit.
It's all about setting intentions.
Holidays, yeah.
Wellness.
Yeah, wellness. Yeah.
Speaking of wellness,
Luke Littler. He doesn't look well.
He does not look well.
That wasn't what I was going to do, but you. Okay. We are talking about Tinder then?
Yeah, of course we are, yeah. Okay. I think Gav just wanted to talk about the man-child who's in the world's... Actually, by the time this comes out, he'll either be world champion or not. So, yeah. good luck, Luke. We're all behind you.
We're all rooting for
which
you,
which is why we can't see the board.
So, what are we going to talk about? I think Gina just gave it away.
She did give it away, yeah. So, this might be a bit of a reach, but we're obviously in the season of New Year's resolutions. Gareth, I have some suggestions for you.
Okay, go
what
on.
Are they? Do
we'll get on to that. We'll talk privately. But one of the more popular resolutions is to date more, with this Sunday having been dubbed Dating Sunday due to being the busiest day of the year for online dating. And due to that, Tinder have just released their first ever UK brand film, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. But before that, just more generally, dating apps are more popular or at least more used than ever. And yet we're in a world of the highest rates of sexlessness amongst young people. So this triggered a few questions, which I'd like to put to the room. So are dating apps becoming more or less relevant specifically for young people? Are we dependent on them? And are they offering a net benefit or a net detriment to society? Why can't I speak?
That was awful. From like year 10.
Okay, so you're still rusty, but hey.
That was horrible.
So I'd like to go back to your first point. So January feels like a time that people will engage with their dating apps, perhaps get a new dating app, perhaps like... Well, that's a good question to begin with. I'm looking at you, Alicia. How many dating apps are you on? Do you concentrate on one dating app? Would you like... why are you laughing?
It's like a one-man band.
Because I have to count. Like, I have probably four different dating apps on my phone.
Okay, so that's
good. I think
good.
I only actively look at two.
Okay. And do you feel like January is a time where you'll like refresh your like profile, maybe do a nice little new write-up of yourself in line with your new expectations of what your year's going to be all about?
No, not necessarily, but I know that's something that people do because, you know, you have your night, everyone got dressed up for New Year's and probably took lots of nice photos. And so I'm sure that's something that people, I mean, I didn't, but I'm sure that's...
No, but don't you think it's part of like the resolutions that I'm going to...
I mean, peek into my own life. Yes, that is one of my resolutions.
Peek into your life is one of your resolutions. Wow. Quite esoteric, but anyway.
But yeah, just get out there more. And I think also just looking at the year ahead, I think that makes sense.
I'm interested in knowing from three of you, like...
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a really weird answer.
No, I know, I'm brushing over her answers. The dating apps that you do you use different dating apps to find different types of experiences? Or are you finding the same people on the same dating apps?
Yes, the same. I literally messaged my friend yesterday. It's such an ick when you're talking to someone and then you move to Instagram and then you end up ignoring their messages on Instagram because you actually realize they're kind of ugly. And then you end up seeing them on Bumble and it's like, we're all here. We've seen each other on three different platforms now. It's embarrassing. So yeah, you do end up seeing the same people on. I only use two, but.
And so, what's the difference, say, between Bumble and Hinge? Go on. Is there a difference?
What, in terms of?
Yeah, have they got a clear proposition that differs?
Bumble, the woman always makes the first move and she has 24 hours to send that first message.
Okay.
Whereas Hinge, anything goes, you just like each other.
Okay, and then we're going to be talking about it. Tinder, anyone
James
done Tinder?
James likes Tinder.
I don't like Tinder. I have Tinder.
Traditionally, that's the hookup app, right?
Well, apparently. But it was also just the original one and the one that I've never deleted off my phone in the last 8 years. But yeah,
have you updated it in the last 8 years?
No, and I noticed, actually.
That's why it's getting no dates.
I noticed that.
Fresh face, little man.
I noticed that my bio, which is about 5 years old, just says, I am the reason Waldo is hiding. And I don't know what it means. I don't remember writing it, and I want to delete it. I might be doing a little refresh.
But Tinder is the sister app, isn't it, to Grindr, correct?
No, I don't think it is.
No, I thought it was.
No.
I thought that Grindr was...
exclusively just sex.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought that Tinder came off Grindr.
That's not true. It becomes that, but that's not their...
Oh, is it not true?
No, that's not their proposition.
No,
just sex for gay men.
But I think for Tinder, that's sort of what it's become, because as newer apps have come through, people have moved on to it. And so I think Tinder tends to be the one... That is the closest equivalent, I guess. But there's other apps that are more specifically...
But I think they've both been shaped by their usage more than they've guided that usage. So I don't think either of them necessarily set out to just be the hookup app. But because of the nature of the app, like with Tinder, with it being so kind of swipey, and I mean, they've changed it a bit now, I think, but it was just kind of picture, swipe right, swipe left. I think that naturally lends itself to people who just want kind of... quick hookups rather than a deeper connection.
And then we did some work on a dating app called Hylee maybe about a year ago, and they were really sort of like trying to sort of refocus on friendships, right? Which kind of leads us onto that sort of like Tinder thing. It's more about experience than, because like you say, like people aren't actually, people are having less sex. They're not getting these apps.
Do you want some stats?
Yeah, go on, let's hear them, because I'm stumbling my words here, so some stats would be good.
One in three men aged 18 to 30 hasn't had sex in the last year. There are more childless women at 30 than not, and by 2040, 45% of women aged 25 to 40 will be single and childless.
How do they know that? How do they know
surveys?
That?
They ask people.
I plan on being childless and on my own at 45.
Fingers crossed.
Isn't the less childless women at the age of 30? That's just societal, though, isn't it? Women have babies later now. That's just a societal
women
norm, right?
Yeah, but that was my first thought. But then I saw the other stat, which went up to 40, and then I thought, that's getting close.
So those poor dudes out there aren't getting any. But did you have a stat for the ladies?
Didn't occur to me to check. No, that didn't come up.
Right. Okay.
But I think they're probably more active.
Right. Okay. So what's interesting about what Tinder have done with this new brand film that they've launched?
I think online dating has got a slightly kind of grubby reputation now, and Tinder's probably, it's like the original swipe brand that's most closely associated with all those negative connotations. So they've tried to like redefine their proposition, similar to what you said with Hylee, to make it geared more towards like finding friends, companions, as well as relationships. They kind of...
They didn't
say kind of overtly find friends on Tinder. I think they just made it about kind of generic connection with human beings in the real human world, not the metaverse.
Yeah, okay. Should we watch a bit?
Picture this. You've just left home and moved to the city. And it's not quite going like you planned.
I feel like I shouldn't have come here.
Your sister says...
Babe, you're surrounded by 8 million people. Just go off.
This is James.
I was wondering why you were grinning.
You match with Maya. You agree you don't fancy each other, but she makes you laugh till it hurts. She drags you to a mate's house. And suddenly you find yourself sharing part of you that you've always kept to yourself. You match with Oscar, who's a babe, but you go your separate ways. Then you bump into Isaac again and bond over a shared appreciation of silence. You meet Flo via Danny, Jess via Izzy, and Koji via Raph. And bit by bit, a world that seems so closed off now feels so full of possibilities. Then you remember that call with your big sister.
Babe, you're surrounded by 8 million people. Just go out and find something.
And you think, what if I hadn't?
I thought the film's all right.
Yeah.
I like the way it's shot, and I understand what it's trying to say. It's trying to like break into sort of like just different subcultures in your city, different things going on. It's kind of what it's saying. It's not just about swiping right, is it?
Yeah, I guess it's tapping into the subcultures, like you said, and a more generic human truth around loneliness, which is supposedly on the rise as well, and kind of not necessarily positioning dating or swiping as the solution to that, but just that's where the message at the start kind of makes sense, is you're surrounded by 8 million people, just go out and do stuff, be a human. Like we were talking about it a bit before, and it's kind of satisfying in the sense that you can really clearly see all of the thinking that's gone into it.
You can see the thinking. It's shot nicely. It's like a mix of like mixed media, so there's bits in it that feel really real, like shot on, you know, sort of like phone, and then there's bits in it that feel like, you know, that had some thought and a bit of budget behind it.
But
the voiceover is cringe.
A bit fucking cringe, isn't it?
Yeah, there's something that just makes me cringe.
You didn't need it. You didn't need it.
I think you could have told that story with no voiceover and it would have been wicked. I don't know, Alicia, what did you think of it?
I mean, again, another peek into my life. That's kind
which, again, weirdly, let's just point it out, is her new year's resolution.
No, no, no.
Take more of a peek into my life.
No, I think, because I see myself in this sort of ad, because when I moved to London however many years ago, that's kind of what I did as well. I used it, Tinder was still popular at that time. And so I sort of used that as, oh, well, I actually don't know anyone in the city. Like, it's a good excuse to get out there and like see some new bars or like meet new people. So I did sort of use Tinder to do that and like met some interesting people. I mean, do I talk to them anymore? No, but like had some cool dates and was like, okay, like getting a vibe of what London is like. I know I like it. So there's something that sort of like hits with a bit of like nostalgia. I don't know. Also just watching it kind of gives me like Skins vibes, which
it's got a good soundtrack.
That felt like a brand deal, by the way. That felt like a hashtag ad just there.
It did, didn't it? Gina, does this give you an itchy Tinder finger?
You won't get that. I've got an ointment for that.
Not really, but I do get what it's trying to do, and I actually really liked it. Similarly to Alicia, I feel like last year I was just dating for the sake of it, because you don't always need to date with intention. You can date just to literally meet people. Like, you don't have to be.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, which I really liked. Also, I kind of have a reverse story to what this advert was saying. I made friends with this girl on TikTok, and she's like she's not really an influencer, but then we followed each other on Instagram, and then she messaged me saying we'd never met or anything. She's like, how do you know this guy? And I was like, oh, I know him from Hinge. And she goes, I know him from Hinge. Then we bonded off that. So it's almost like a reverse story of that. That's what it made me think.
Yeah,
about.
Do you feel like that we should follow you around on your life and you could be the next ad?
I don't think you want to do that, but potentially. No, but I really like the advert.
It's not your New Year's resolution to take more of a peek into my life.
No, my New Year's resolution is the opposite of that. That's why I'm off, you know, all the apps, all the socials for a bit, because I think I give too much away.
Just stop letting people peek into your life.
Yes. Because I do let them peek into my life a bit too much. But this is interesting that they've done this, because Bumble actually has a friends feature.
No offence to anyone listening
and
that's
Alicia.
Done it and had like a good experience in it. And I do think human connection is definitely the way we should be moving forward. More human connection is
human
good.
Connection
like finding your friends through Bumble.
It's a bit Bumble friends. And I get it, but at the same time, it's always a bit. I've never thought, oh my God, let me go and click on that.
Yeah.
Even if I moved somewhere and I didn't know anyone, I probably still wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because it is just
you just don't
bit,
feel
like
you'd be meeting the right people,
exactly,
do you?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
What is their intention?
If you're making friends on Bumble, I don't want to be your friend.
Whereas this is interesting, because also the advert is kind of taking the pressure off like the reasons for dating as well. Like, you don't have to.
Well, that's part of the strategy, isn't it?
I like
it's
a lot.
Like,
it's
not I think
about
it's bollocks.
Falling in love the whole time.
I don't know. I just find it kind of insincere, though. Like, I think what it kind of reminds me of where they're trying to slightly rebrand themselves. You know when like. When Burberry got so popular, but it got popular for the wrong reasons with the wrong people, and it was almost a victim of its success. I feel like Tinder are trying to kind of fight against what their reputation has become, and I just can't see it making any difference. And I just look at this, I'm like, is anyone actually ever going to go on Tinder to make friends other than Alicia?
That's not what they're saying.
No, I'm not making friends. I was just going out with guys.
That's how you make friends. Okay. All right, cool. Well, James.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, tell us, 2024, what's your dating strategy?
To date more?
Sure.
Which app shall you be using? If you want to find James, this is the app he shall be using. James?
I don't like Hinge, because it makes you put your height on it.
But then on his bio, it said Short King Spring, so you embraced it last year.
That's true. Let's talk about someone else, shall we?
All right, what's up next then?
I've got a fun one. Following a 40-year hiatus, a little-known upcoming artist by the name of Drake is reviving Luna Luna, the world's first art amusement park.
It looks good.
Okay.
And there we go, let's move on.
Okay, let's jump to you because you seem to be a fan of this, Gina.
No, it's like it's called Forgotten Fantasy and it's got loads of like, James, I feel like you could probably describe it better as your story.
It's
an amusement park, isn't it? That has loads of art in it.
But it's got works from David Hockney, Keith Haring, Basquiat, Salvador Dali.
It's in Germany, right?
Sorry?
Was it originally in Germany?
The original one was in Germany. This one is going to be in LA. And I don't mind. It looks to me as if it was kind of... Well, immersive art exhibitions are fucking everywhere now, and they're generally pretty shit. But this was, like, the original one, in a sense, like, loosely. And it's got a lot of work kind of submitted by people who actually wanted it to be part of this rather than beaming a 30-foot Van Gogh through a shit projector kind of thing.
Big names as well.
Big names.
Yeah. So Liechtenstein. Like installations and thank you. Installations and performances and stuff. So it's like it's not like interactive how we know interactive art, where you're going into a room with a projector. I think.
Yeah.
But I think that's original. That's what Andy Warhol was like. Originally, it's just more tactile art that you're getting involved with, because traditionally art was like looking at a picture, right? So I think it's taking from where they were in the 80s through to now, which I've got to say I've been to a lot of shit experiences.
Yeah, then I don't think I've been to a good one. Them. Yeah, I do kind of hate them. Yeah,
I went over Christmas actually. I went to the Balloon Museum, which is on for 6 weeks. It's fucking wicked.
Oh,
really, really, really good. Like I was thoroughly waiting to hate it, and it's brilliant. It's got like the hugest ball pool ever. It's like definitely one of the experiences that I've been, which actually holds up. Back to this though, Drake, why is he putting his money up?
It's not clear. I feel like, well, part of me feels like Drake's just doing side quests now, because like he's funding this and like there's easier ways to make a quick buck, and he's not like branding it with a load of OVO Drake stuff. Like he's kind of maintaining the integrity of the original vision. And like similar with Top Boy, like he funded that because he liked it. But then the cynic in me thinks that he's also quite a savvy marketer, and like the love that Drake showed or whatever for like the kind of UK music scene and like street culture, for want of a better term, definitely helped endear him to audiences who might have otherwise found his music a little bit fucking soppy. And you saw a lot yeah, exactly, all that shit. And now I think, like, is this going to do something similar, have a similar effect with the kind of artsy, fashiony, hipster LA people who might otherwise think his music's misogynistic or something?
He just doesn't suit it.
Do you not think? But that's why he's not. But he's just he's like a producer. He's just the money man.
It's a big thing, isn't it, with a lot of rappers these days, that they've all got these sort of like meaningful side hustles, whether it's like Kendrick Lamar and his own agency. And, you know, they're all trying to diversify, like James says, into different art forms to, I don't know, to stay relevant, I think, but appeal to different people. Like the Top Boy example is a great example of, you know, him coming over and people are like, what, Drake likes gigs and, you know, all the rest of it. It does endear him to new audiences,
although,
right?
I've just read that it's actually his creative studio that restored the rides as well. So it is probably just a money-making thing. I don't actually think he cares about the art.
Oh, Drake.
Based on what? Just assuming he doesn't, why?
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
Does Top Boy make sense to you?
No.
Can you not just
like... No, it does. Because he's been culture vulturing off like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves that.
That for a while.
Yeah.
Like London street culture.
Right.
I think it's a pretty uncharitable interpretation to say, oh no, he doesn't care, because he's not really... maybe he'll make some money out of it and good for him, but... He's not.
I agree. He could be bringing out like bottles of tequila.
But if that's what I'm saying,
like
there's much easier ways. And what he's really doing, and like I said, where they're keeping a lot of like the original work and getting new stuff in. If anything, he's using his platform to elevate. Admittedly, like a lot of these names don't need elevating, but to certain new audiences of young people, they potentially do. So
new audiences of kids going to Primark and buying Keith Haring t-shirts.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah. I don't see how this could possibly be interpreted negatively.
Yeah, maybe.
And I'm a pretty cynical guy.
Alicia, you're chirpy and uncynical. What do you think of this?
I mean, okay, it's not for me, but yeah, that's great.
So if you're in LA, you wouldn't pop in?
No, I'm not that bothered. But yeah, I guess it's not that. But it's not. So I guess when it was originally run, it was like a proper amusement park. But I assume now you're not actually allowed to ride the rides and stuff like that. Or
nobody knows. Nobody knows. No one hasn't opened it yet.
But
yeah,
also, I don't know if Jake. I would go.
I would assume though that there will be an interactive element to it. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be.
There's a merry-go-round. It'd be weird. Just like that.
No, but I mean, these are probably. Worthless, very expensive. Priceless. Yeah, that's the opposite. Priceless works of art.
Yeah, that's so what I want to understand. Is it a reimagining? Is he like...
No, it's the actual original.
Loads of these works were just like in storage, gathering dust.
Let's take a step back. If he is going to, you know, put some money into reinvesting to getting them working again, surely that's a great thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, right. Okay, fine. We'll move off these two cynical people over here.
No, I would go.
Me and James full of... Yeah. You know, love and light for this.
No, yeah, I don't. I prefer to go to a nice restaurant.
I think it's really cool, but I would go. But that's I'm not.
But
go
just
to...
because it's Drake, I
no,
won't.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's nothing to do with Drake. That's not the reason I'd go. I would go anyway.
Yeah, okay, but do you not think
nothing to it?
He has funded it. He's made it happen. That's the whole point.
He's added nothing to it except everything.
And that's probably why it's a big story. It's because Drake funded it. If someone else,
guys, do you know
Ainsley Harriet's not going to get the headlines?
Yeah, if Jeff Bezos did it, like.
A big story if it got funded a different
way. I don't think it would.
Nowhere near.
No, not at all. No.
And because if it's
because
this is the thing. If it was just funded by BlackRock or something, then it will only.
You always mention BlackRock.
They fund everything.
You mention nearly every other podcast.
That's not true. But then it would just attract like art heads who are already interested in this stuff. Whereas with this, it opens up to a massive audience who might not otherwise be interested, but then might go, oh, I like that. And then all of a sudden they've got an interest in art.
Okay, I think we're split down the middle on this one, so...
Into right and wrong.
Alicia, have you got story springers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Confident. Well, yeah. There's not much.
That was a crazy noise. Wasn't like that.
There's not much. It's not really a story.
Speak it out.
I always come with these shit stories. There's just a new ad that's come out for
Coca-Cola.
Really
sound, my God.
A new ad? Oh, fantastic.
No, it is good. It's for the Coca-Cola company, and it's directed by Christopher Storer, who's the current showrunner and creator of The Bear. So it's basically just set over sort of like the Christmas time holiday period about a girl bringing a partner home to meet her family for the first time and sort of the chaos that ensues. So it's kind of like...
So what's the brand?
Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Yeah, so it features... Coca-Cola. Yeah, have you heard of it?
I've heard of Coca-Cola.
So it features like, you know, they're drinking Coca-Cola and like Smart Water, all our favorites, Sprite. I know, it's just a nice commercial.
Alicia,
and
Alicia, you're really not selling this story. Shall we watch a bit?
Actually, I was gonna hit.
When you shake his hand, really firm grip, but not so much that you're trying to claim alpha status.
No.
What I'd like to know is, now in right into January, why are you bringing Christmas commercials? Jesus, did you miss the brief? 2024!
The story was written yesterday.
Also, sorry, going back to the advert, I actually really like it, but the product placement is shocking.
Yeah, well, that's
what it's first of all, like, you know, by the person that does The Bear, obviously, you know...
Yeah,
like,
can't tell.
Yeah, it's got the sort of hecticness of the TV program The Bear, which is much loved and people, you know, lord over it. It's got that, but I'm with you, the product placement feels a bit hefty,
well,
doesn't it?
Well, cutting random shots.
As people who have worked with Coca-Cola as a brand, I think we can agree that there are certain, you know, there are ways you need to show the product and things like that. So I think they're probably, his hand was forced and like, okay, you need a clean shot of them like putting it down and stuff. Yeah.
And it added kind of, it added nothing. It was like, you know, when like you watch old film, like 80s films where it's really kind of jarring product placement. It was kind
That's
of like
the Truman Show.
Right.
Yeah,
that
I feel
off.
Like at the end you could have just seen a Coca-Cola and it would have just made
kind,
it hot.
Kind of,
the background. You would have noticed it.
Yeah, because it's like...
Well, I think they'll argue that's the point you know, the people at Coca-Cola, your point, like, you wouldn't even have noticed it.
So you would have noticed it.
Oh, okay, sorry. Apologies.
But there's no connecting line, is there?
No.
There's just
there's
a sketch and it happens to have Coca-Cola in it. There's no reason for the Coca-Cola to be there other than
it's
it being
really
so
enjoyable, though, isn't it? It's an enjoyable idea. No, he's meeting the dad for the first time. It's got
relatable. It got more and more cringe as it went on.
Well, because there's more products than they needed to show. If it was just for Coke, then fine, but it's for everything.
Yeah, it's funny how it's for the whole like stable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really showing their hand as being owners of everything.
All right then. Have you got a story then?
I do have a story. Okay. Have we got time?
Yeah,
sure.
Let's do it.
Basically, I'll keep it quick. You know Gymbox? They're like little pop-up gyms in London.
Because they're gyms, they're not pop-up gyms. They're just gyms.
They're pop-up gyms.
No, they're not.
What?
Have I got the word pop-up?
Why would they be pop-up gyms?
It's a weird business.
Who would go to a pop-up gym? Pop-up gym just outside,
because everyone likes a gym to move about. You can't guess where it will be.
I also don't understand what a pop-up gym would be. I don't know where it got
I don't think
from.
Anyone would go to a pop-up gym.
No, I know. No. Anita, your story was so bad that it fucking threw me offline.
So Gymbox is a gym brand, yeah?
Yeah, they have gyms.
Yeah.
They
were famous for doing a lot of experiential stuff. Maybe that's,
maybe
what
that's why I'm
about.
Thinking of yeah, it. Yeah. So before you shit all over what I say, think. They've released an out-of-home campaign which takes inspiration from the lives of Londoners exclusively. So it's called Made for London Life, and it's about how the brand fits into Londoners' everyday lives. So what's interesting about this? So it's a campaign, and it's got like posters everywhere. So a couple of examples: like wings at 2 a.m., legs at 10 a.m., gin fizz, gym riz.
Gym fizz, gym what?
Gym riz. Oh, do you know what riz is?
Yeah, I do. You taught me.
Oh, fair. Where I was going with this, you know that surreal cereal? They've done something that looks quite visually looks quite similar to this in the past, and it's not the most like striking stuff, but they actually did it based on a survey. So they looked at, well, they surveyed 2,000 gym members and quizzed them on like their favourite things outside of exercising. So people like dating, clubbing, eating out, and then things that they don't like.
That comes after the dating, sorry.
Ill.
But yeah, I understand. They've juxtaposed two things
there
into
you go.
A picture.
There you go.
Which is about like training hard and living your life, right?
Basically, yeah. So actually, one of them was a bit naughty. One of them was faking it at 1 a.m, shaking it at 11 a.m.
Oh, saucy.
So yeah, I just liked it.
Yeah. I'm going to put it out there and say these are really poor.
You don't like them?
Yeah. They leave me a little cold as well. I don't mind the wings and legs one. That's the tidiest one. But the thing is, with it being informed by consumer research, it's like, oh, people like eating and they don't like working long hours. I could have probably told you that.
I don't know. I'm trying to think through like the lens of, is that going to make me like join the gym?
No.
Is that like... I mean, a lot of people do join gyms in January, right? So, like, a lot of it is just about, like, being top of mind, right? So, if that's going to hit
that's
you
true.
Top of mind, it might do, right?
But I like the whole, like, Made for London Life angle.
Made for London Life is quite a nice...
It is
like,
good.
Is that the sign-off, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
so
mind
So, you're, like,
that.
Trying to squeeze it into, like, a
I'll
busy
what,
life.
I'll tell you what, though. It would be unlike me to comment on anything to do with design, and I should be focusing on the words. But I don't think the design really works at all, because it just, like... Because you're right, if the only intention is to be front of mind, there's nothing in here that really says Gymbox. You have to get right up close to it.
You only see the yellow as well, really.
And also just the kind of, I feel like, I mean, the lines on their own aren't good enough to stand alone without being helped by some sort of engaging visual. So just having this black, weird kind of black and yellow juxtaposition just doesn't really work.
I agree with you. So I thought when you were saying them out loud, what would have been really nice if they'd had some really nice art direction where they're somehow merging those two things in a visual way. So like, you know, a pair of like legs, like on leg day, and a pair of wings at the top of the picture, like for reals, might have been a more interesting way, to your point, to sort of guide you in. But I do think, and it's not, you know, it's not usually like creative to say that it needs a bigger logo, but it kind of needs a bigger logo, doesn't it? So you know what you're looking at.
So you think they just missed the mark? There was potential, but it's just a bit shit.
It's just not filling me with like, oh wow, that's really inspiring. I guess
I just thought it was cool, but okay.
But you can think it's cool.
You can. That's
cool. It's a discussion. That's cool.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, James.
Yes, Gareth.
First cool shit of the year.
Yeah,
what day are we? Wednesday today on recording. What's going in? What's not?
It's up to Kyra.
It's up to Kyra.
Kyra's writing this week.
Secret little thing here. Kyra is actually sat in the room because she's editing the podcast.
And writing
cool shit. And a little listen. Go on, what do you think?
I think Drake will go in. Tinder, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tinder, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you like the Tinder ad?
Tinder and Drake.
Right,
there's other stuff. There's other stuff I've seen that might be going in as well. There's some space tourism. So I'll just leave it at that.
Space tourism.
We love some space tourism.
Oh God, you guys just
carbon space.
Get out!
Carbon neutral.
Cool. Well, the next podcast is going to be the next agenda. Learn to time travel. So keep your ears open.
It's about the idea of intergenerational marketing between, you know, different age cohorts and how the labelling of different generations is not helpful, or there is more opportunity when you understand the connectivity between different generations and brands.
Save that for the podcast.
Wow.
All right.
That was good.
James, where do they go to find the Cool Shit newsletter?
They go to zachagency.com/cool-sht.
Okay, cool. All right then. Well, thanks very much for the first one of 2024. We will see you for that special in a couple of weeks' time.